We thank you for listening to the weekly sermon of First United Methodist Church, Missouri City, Texas. We're a church that's making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. For more information about the church and its ministries, or how we can pray for you, visit us on the web at fumcmc.org. If you desire to make a quick contribution in support of our ministries, you can text to give. Simply text the amount you want to give to 281-369-4870 and follow the instructions. And now, as you listen, we hope that you find this podcast meaningful and transformational in your journey of faith.
Pray with me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of each and every heart be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our salvation. Amen. My family loved to travel. And so growing up, every summer, we'd pile into the car, we hitched on the Airstream trailer, and off we went. Sometimes we went east, sometimes we went west, sometimes we went north. But we would travel across these United States every summer. And I have to admit, on some days were longer than others. You know, you put three kids in the back seat of a car, and some days are longer than others. And when the going got tough in the back seat, my mama would say, start the and then story. You all know what the and then stories are? Well, someone starts a story. You just make up anything. It was a Thursday, it was raining, and we hitched up the buggy. And what you do is you turn to the next person, you say, and then, and they add on to the story. And then, and you keep going around and around, and you've had this wonderful or awful, or absolutely silly or spooky, just plain weird story. But it occupied our time on the journey. And that's what we do with our lives. Our life is a journey, right? And so we have stories to tell to try to make sense of it, to celebrate it, and to grieve the rough places. And we tell our story, and it becomes, and then. Well, I recently learned that when you do that, you're employing a Hebrew, what the Hebrew scholars call the law consecutive. That sounds pretty fancy, doesn't it? It's an arrangement of words upon which the Hebrew stories were built. The wa letter in Hebrew is like our W. And when you put the W in front of some verbs, it changes the tense. And so the story essentially flows along saying and then. For example, think about Genesis 1. In the beginning. So it says there was light, and then God saw the light was good. And then there was evening, and then there was morning, and before you know it, you're in the end of the book of Deuteronomy with Moses on the top of Mount Nebo. Because the story has continued, and then. Not only do the Bible stories work the and-thens within a particular narrative, but they move the story along, but from one event to the next. First there's Genesis, and then Exodus. First there's Abraham, and then Isaac, Israel, and eventually Jesus. So we Christians believe that we live in the and-then after resurrection and before the second coming. Everything that's told between the resurrection of Jesus until he comes again is a part of a continuous story. So we live inside an unfinished story. We live inside an unfinished story that began with the Spirit of God hovering over the chaos. And millions of years later took a dramatic turn when that same God chose to come and live among us, taught us how to live, showed us how to love, and then beat death once and for all. And we share that story. We share it with the characters who were there, Mary and Joseph, the disciples and Paul. And we share it with the heroes of the faith, Martin Luther and John Wesley. We share it. And the stories we tell with our lives are not meaningless. They're not tragic in their brevity, but rather subplots of a bigger story. Every moment of our life is charged with significance. And we add our little plots and the little twists that we to this larger epic. The Holy Spirit pushes us along. And I know that God just smiles every once in a while and says to us, and then? Like, what are you going to do next? And then? For example, last week when Leah was here, she talked about in trying to encourage the children to do acts of kindness at home, at school, or in the neighborhood. And she suggested, what if on a cold summer day, you waited for the garbage truck and you handed out cold popsicles? Well, bam, on Monday morning, there was a Facebook picture of David and Gabriella. They didn't have popsicles, but they'd stopped the garbage truck and they handed up chocolate crosses. And if that wasn't enough, the Mackay family texted Leah and said that their girls had also, they didn't have popsicles and they didn't have chocolate crosses, but they had a gallon of ice cream and they had cups, and they were handing out cups of ice cream to the garden. You see, those precious children are continuing the story. On the same day, twice that week, and there were other children that we've learned this today, did the same thing. Their stories are being woven into the greater story. Small children, but great acts of kindness, hovering into the future. And then, who knows what David will be 20 years from now? What his and then story will be. N.T. Wright explains it this way. What you do for the Lord is not in vain. You are, he says, strange as it may seem, almost as hard to believe as the resurrection itself, you are accomplishing something that will in due course become a part of God's new world. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? Every act of kindness, every act of love, gratitude, every work or art or music inspired by the love of God, every act of care and nurture, comfort and support, every deed that spreads the gospel and builds up the church, all of this in some time will find its way through the resurrecting power of God into the new creation that God is already at work. Imagine if you really believe that every little thing you do is a part of God's grand scheme. Imagine if every day you behaved as if it were true. I want us to go back to the gospel lesson that I read earlier, but I want to invite you to try something different. If you don't remember another thing I say this morning, I want you to remember this part of the sermon, because I want you to be there in this reading. What had happened in this reading? Well, it was the last night that Jesus was with his friends, right? He had washed their stinky, dirty feet. They'd had Passover together, and then they had broken the bread, and he said, "This is my body broken." And they had drunk the cup of suffering all the way to the dregs. And then he wanted to pray for them. How does it feel when someone prays for you? feel warm? Do you feel uncomfortable? How does it feel? Is it easier to pray for somebody than to have them pray for you, Virginia? How does it feel to have someone pray for you? Well, Jesus is going to pray for you tonight, this morning, and I want you to be there. I want you to be one of those people in that room. Imagine this big room where they had this Last Supper, an upper room. Tables are on the floor. You sit on pillows. The disciples are there. Women are there. I mean, who else would have prepared the meal and served it, right? Children were there. It's Passover. Children have very important roles in Passover. So decide who you are while I read this story. Are you bold, brave Peter? Are you quiet Matthew? Who are you? And then I want you to close your eyes while I read this little short part. The prayer that Jesus prays for you. Listen again. I'm praying not only for them, Father, but also for those who will believe in me because of them and their witness about me. The goal is for all of them to become one heart, one mind. Just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, so they might be one heart and mind with us. Then the world might believe that you, in fact, sent me. The same glory you gave me, I'm giving them. So they will be unified together, I in them, you in me. Then they'll be mature in this oneness and give the godless world evidence that you have sent me and love them in the same way you loved me. What does that feel like? Jesus has just prayed for you. It's amazing. Jesus praying for you and for me thousands of years later. He prayed first for those gathered around him, and then he's added all who would believe because of their stories. And then year after year, people telling their stories of the love of Jesus, sharing their faith journey, and then someone told you. And then, who will you tell? Because we're a part of this great, great story. And we all have roles to play. We all have gifts. Within the community is the prayer for unity, that all may be one. Scary, right? Does that mean we have to get along all of the time? Does that mean we all have to agree all of the time? If one thinks of this as a political statement, it would seem to call for constant agreement, but it's not. It's deeply spiritual statement. We are one in Christ, all of us, whether we agree or not. We are one in Christ, whether we even like one another or not. To become a part of Christ is to become a part of community, a part of the three. In one. Jesus then reminds us that our oneness is to be a sign to the world. That's how they'll know that we are his. By our love, our oneness in Jesus Christ. Unity is about love, and if you've been a part of a family or a member of a church or a community, you know there are disagreements and squabbling. We're human. But the mystery of the incarnation is that God desired unity with us so much, God came as one of us. And in that moment, we're drawn into the oneness of God, the Creator, the Son, and the Spirit. His prayer was, remember that they may be in us. He doesn't want us to believe a bunch of stuff. He wants us to be in him. Please, God, Jesus prays, please, God, let the oneness that we share be among my disciples. And his prayer for us and for you and for me, unity is not about dogma or doctrine or correct belief. It's about grace and glory and love. Unity is about my soul and your soul being united in love with God, being loved by God, and my loving God in return with the love God gives me. God is love. It's a mystery. It's hard to explain. It's mystical. Rusty complained this morning about the scripture I chose. He said, that one's a hard one. But it's about love. And there's nothing hard about love. Love is beautiful. Love, God is love. God loves Jesus. Jesus loves God. And they both love us and dwell in us. That's the amazing thing. And Jesus continues, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory. What in the world could that mean? What is the glory he's given us? I have given them the glory. Is it the shine on the icons that are thousands of years old? Is it the shine in the eyes of the lovers of God? If it is, then hallelujah, glory, glory. And then Jesus says, the love you gave me, it's a gift. It's a gift. Love is a gift. Unity as love is a gift. In love and through love. The love that God gave Jesus, he gives us. And we're to use that gift and then hand it, and then hand it, and then hand it along. Our task, my friends, is to be the answer to Jesus' prayer. When you pray, you expect God to answer your prayers, right? And Jesus in this prayer is praying for us, and our task is to be the answer to his prayer. It reminds me of a verse in the book, a letter to the church at Colossae written by Paul. He writes, the mystery that was hidden for the ages has been revealed to the saints, to whom God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Wow. If that ain't amazing, that ain't grace and you're not awake. The hope of glory is in you. And I don't know about you, but I find this story just so amazing that Christ is embodied in us, the hope of glory. But you know what? When I look over here at David and Gabriella and see that you have been given an opportunity to, with your lives, to be an example to them, because that's what you promised at their baptism. That you would do everything in your power through your words that you speak, the way that you live, to teach them to be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ. And that's the end then. Because every time you go hug Gabriella, and she loves to be hugged, you are part of the end then story. Everything we do, every word we say, as we continue to embrace one another in the love of God and to live in unity as Jesus prayed, then, and only then, can we be the answer to Jesus' prayer. I have one last story to tell you. How many of you remember Preston? Preston was our associate pastor about, he came before I left, so 10 years ago, and he stayed for 3 years. It's an and-then story, because when he came, he didn't know squat about being a pastor. And for 3 years, you taught him everything he needed to know. You taught him how to build community. You praised his preaching or helped him do it better. It's an and-then story, and then. And after 3 years, the end then, God took him away from you and sent him off to Texarkana, where he learned more about about being a pastor, and then God sent him to College Station, where he is right now. When he got to A&M Methodist Church in College Station, it was the church he and Preston went to as college students. And Preston says that when they walked in, the first day they walked in to see the church, nothing had changed. It looked just like it had when they were college students. It was drab. He said it actually was sad. The carpet was the same old carpet. The walls were the same old color. And he said, and my people were sad. They were discouraged. They were disappointed. He said, I had a lot of work to do. So the first year, he just listened to the stories. He listened to their dreams. He listened to their vision, what they wanted it to be and how they wanted it to change and be different. And he listened. And then they sat down and they began to vision together. What is God asking us to do so that the people that live around us will want to come to this church, will want to come and be a part of the people who are here because they're so loving and so caring? So they had a little campaign and they raised some money and they did some spick and span jobs. But mostly, he empowered the people to be excited about being faith-sharing congregation, about inviting people to come, about sharing their in-then stories. And the point of that is that from January of this year till June 1st of this year, they have added 101 new members. Yeah, wow. It's not beyond possibility. We have a few empty spaces in here this morning. And the scripture verse we've been working on, glory be to God, who can do far more than we could ask or imagine. So what are your greatest dreams for this congregation? Should we be half filled every Sunday morning? Are you satisfied with it being half full every Sunday morning? Or can we dream bigger? Are there people out there that need to know the love of Jesus Christ? Well, how is that going to happen? Somewhere in your life, someone told you. Because someone had told them. Because someone had told them. Well, guess whose turn it is now? Because Jesus prayed over you, my sweet friends, and embodied us. I in you, Father, and you in me, and we live in them. So how can we be nervous about sharing our faith? If the glory of God is in each one of us, we're not doing it by ourselves. We're not on our own out there, because God is in us. That's the answer to the prayer. So my challenge this week is that we have one more and then story in our storyline. That we share our story with one person this week, at least. Invite them to this place that has a choir that rocks. Amen. They were fantastic. And they don't have choir rehearsal right now. They sang for 20 minutes before they came in here. That ought to be shared. We have a new soloist that just blew you away. That ought to be shared. And most of all, we have a loving Savior who says there's no limits to what we can do because he's given us everything we need. Everything to set the world on fire. And there's a lot more hugs and a lot more stories that you've got to share with these two precious ones right here. And the others wherever they are. Two more right over there. We have to raise them up. And it's your job They've been entrusted to us. And then. Let's pray. Precious Jesus, you sure have a lot of confidence in us. And on the days when we don't feel very confident, please just give us a push from behind and set us on a path of sharing our faith until it becomes an easy path. May we be inviting. May we be empowered because we are marked and we are sent and we are embodied to be the church. Make us busy doing just that. Amen.
And now may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you, give you peace both now and forever. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit go from this place. And may the peace and the love and the grace of God go with you. And may you know, may you remember, may you never forget that there is nothing you can do, nothing that will ever make God love you less. Because when God sees us, he doesn't see the mistakes that we make. He simply says, wow, you're nothing but the best of the best of the best. And can you imagine for just a moment what your day might be like if you lived it believing that? I think you'd have a good day.